It's the Sports Fanatics with Chris Williams and Ross Peterson on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
And welcome in, everybody. Young, new, everybody in between, you and me. This is the Sports Fanatics right here on 1460 KXNO. I know what you're thinking. This isn't Chris. This isn't Ross. Is this really the Sports Fanatics? Yes, it is. I'm Andrew Brown. I'm usually the guy on the other side of the glass. You know, I'm the guy that's making this all work and a silent partner, so to speak. But this time they've let me go loose and talk what I want to. It's going to be fun. We got a lot going on here. Coming up, we're going to be talking extensively college baseball, but we're also going to be talking, for all you Cardinal and Cubs fans out there, we're going to be talking some MLB as well. Dan Zimborski of Fangraphs, Fangraphs.com, ESPN.com, senior writer. He'll be joining me in just a little bit. And then, of course, Brandon Platt, who I mentioned earlier on. He is a former pitcher for the Iowa Hawkeyes and is currently working with Diamond Dream Sports Academy in Iowa City, has connections here to Des Moines. We'll be talking with him later on in this hour. So a lot going on, a lot of baseball to talk to. So if you're a fan of baseball, this is you want to listen in. Let's just say that. If you're not a fan of baseball, well, listen in anyway. It'll be pretty fun. Before I go any further, I want to give a shout out here. I am a newly minted father, and I have a great son. His name is Sawyer Brown. He turns 1 year old tomorrow. 1 year old. And you know what? At one point, I never thought I'd be a father, but here I am, loving it. And I'll tell you a little story here. Sawyer is, I swear, he's going to be the next Babe Ruth, or, you know, he's going to be the next big hurler. The other day, he likes to play with my phones. He likes flashy and shiny stuff like his father. And so he had my phone, and we're out, and we're on the third level of an apartment complex, and we're out on the deck, and he has my phone, and he's just playing with it, and all of a sudden, he decides it needs to leaves the area, chucks it over the rail that we have, and luckily it landed in the grass. But from that point on, I have dubbed him, you know, the next Randy Johnson. You know, he's going to be up there. So anybody listening to this, any scouts, Sawyer Brown, in about 18, 19 years, watch out for him. Anyway, we have a lot going on. Very happy to be here. If you've caught me before, it's been on a couple different podcasts. You know, I've been on The Long Ball is one podcast I have, talking baseball of all levels. And also I join up with Zach Mackey, the voice of Iowa Hawkeye baseball. We do a podcast, and we also have a live show once right before the Big Ten tournament. So it's very fun, very happy to do so. Thanks for anybody who called in. But that's how you might know me from, or just simply the guy behind the glass. But again, I'm a newly minted father, loving every bit of it. And like I said, that little story was just one little minor story. If you have any father stories that you'd like to share, please go ahead. I mean, I'm new to this game. You know, what do I have to look forward to? What do I need to look forward to? What do I have to worry about? If you have anything, give me a call, and we'll get talking about that. But first and foremost, we're going to be talking about Major League Baseball. We're going to be talking about, you know, local Cubs, Cardinals, and we're going to be doing so with Dan Zimborski of Fangraphs and ESPN.com. Dan, thanks for joining on the show. Thanks for taking the time, and what is a busy Monday for you?
No problem, Andrew. Are you training Sawyer to be left-handed? Because that would be a significant plus.
Exactly. That's exactly what I'm doing, and my wife just drives her up the wall, but all the Cheerios go to the left side.
That's the way to do it, because you can always, they have lefty one-out guys in the majors. They don't have righty one-out guys. You have to expand their job opportunities.
Exactly. You know, that's a quick route to a job. I love it. You know, that's exactly what I want to do with him. And you know what? Hey, it's worked so far. When he chucked it off the railing there, my phone, it was with his left hand. So I'm really, some positivity going there. Well, first, I mean, one thing here, Dan, I know that we didn't come to talk about my son solely and his left-handed, soon-to-be in the pros pitching ability, but we came to talk about some Major League Baseball, and we're doing so with you. First and foremost, I was reading up on FanGraphs. You have a chat every so often. You have chats. You let people talk, and man, you have some of the craziest conversations, and I love it. I everybody loves it. One that you and I had a conversation about a while back was about, is a hot dog a sandwich? And you know what?
Oh, you're trying to get me mad.
I saw some of the people talking to you were just, they were adamant that yes, it is. And I mean, you brought up the best explanation I've ever heard as to why a hot dog is not a sandwich.
I have a few ideas why. I don't think that when you have a hinge that it's a proper sandwich, because when you have a sandwich, you're holding the breads parallel to each other. You're applying, you know, vertical forces against each other. You're not doing that with a hinged roll. It's nestled in, and I don't think you can have a nestled in sandwich. That's kind of halfway between a sandwich and a wrap. But no, hot dogs aren't sandwiches unless you break the hinge of the roll. Then it's a sandwich.
Again, that's perfect. Everybody else just gets the simple basis. Yes, it is a sandwich. They just get angry and yell. And I think that's why we have to go to an analytical guru. I think that's what it's come to now, is we have to go to the smart people like you here, Dan, to break it down. But also,
yeah, 20 years in sabermetrics, and I mostly asked about my opinion on hot dogs and chili. We have a lot of chili fights too.
Well, that is definitely a conversation for another time. But now, kind of getting down to brass tacks here, Dan, you at FanGraphs. I love FanGraphs. Anybody who doesn't get to that, check it out. You know, if you're at least a little bit serious about the game, you check it out, because FanGraphs does a great job of taking all the information out there, all the stats, because baseball is stat heavy. Takes all the stats and breaks it down into what you need to know. And, you know, Dan, you do a great job about that. And one of the things I love is your Zips projections. I love that, because, again, it breaks down in the right way. Before we go any further, take us through, for those who don't know, what is a Zips projection? What is that all about, and what is it meant to do?
Well, it's a projection system, so computers are involved. It's something I developed starting in about 2002, 2003, in that time frame. The Z stands for Zimborski, which starts with an S, which, of course, is another example of why I'm odd. But the idea is to take all the sources of data that are available for baseball and try to kind of get one good mathematically backed-up guesstimate. Obviously, predictive future is very hard. We're just trying to reduce the fog just a little bit, because that's all you can really do. One thing you learn when you do projections is you're going to be wrong a lot. So it's always a humbling experience when I see the ones that fail miserably at the end of the year. But Zips always does as well as other projection systems, sometimes better, sometimes equal. And I'm happy with the work. I use a non-parametric model. I could explain a lot more with that, but that usually people then fall asleep if I get into the nitty-gritty math. But, you know, projection systems are what they are. They don't tell us everything, but they do tell us something.
Well, for the Cubs fans out there, Chicago Cubs fans, again, Dan, this is a heavy Chicago Cubs area, also a heavy St. Louis Cardinals area. But looking at the NL Central, you put up, I believe it was on June 24th, actually today, yeah. I believe it was today that you put up the projected standings. And, you know, to Cubs fans, I think you might like this. You have them projected up, I believe, to be the top team in that division when all is said and done, if I'm not mistaken. With that, I think a lot of people are thinking it's Milwaukee's to lose, it's Milwaukee's to win, it's Milwaukee's everything. Why do you have the Chicago Cubs as far up as you do?
Now, you look at the Cubs, and they still have the most high-end talent on the team. Obviously, there's no Christian Yelich. The Brewers have Yelich, and Yelich has become this unstoppable force, but the Cubs have a lot of top-end talent, and that tends to prove to be the most valuable in the long run. There are some holes in the team, and the projections don't necessarily address this, but a team like the Cubs is easier to upgrade than a team like the Cardinals, because the Cubs have a fewer, more obvious holes, while the Cardinals have kind of just been mediocre across the board. And it's hard to upgrade a team like that simply because you can upgrade a hole a lot easier than you can upgrade a mediocre player. You need an average or a better player to do an upgrade. But when you have a flaming hole in your bullpen or something, just getting someone okay can be a huge boost. You combine these things. I think the Cubs, they're not an overwhelming favorite. The projections say 56%. That's probably about where I'd put them, simply because they also have a shorter contention window probably than the Brewers do, or even the Reds, and might be more willing to make a large pickup, which they can in fact make. And they've already made one, of course, by bringing in Kimbrel. I think that they are the favorite. Just, you know, it's no guarantee by any means.
And you mentioned Kimbrel. I mean, a lot of people in this area have gone out to see Kimbrel when he's been up with the Iowa Cubs. They're really excited about him. Chicago's very excited about him. Again, I may be different. I'm an NL East Atlanta Braves fan, so I may not be looking at this with, or maybe I'm looking at it the right way. But is the addition of Kimbrel going to make a whole lot of difference? I mean, really? I mean, people think the Cubs fans think it'll make a lot of difference. Some people I've heard say maybe it won't make a difference at all. What's the realistic version? What can we expect, or at least try to expect, from this Kimbrel signing?
Well, the thing about Kimbrel, I mean, he adds a win or two to the team, and that doesn't sound like much. But when you're essentially in two parallel races, a divisional race and a wild card race that both have a lot of teams very close to each other, one win or two wins can make a gigantic difference. I know, because sometimes when people come from football, they say, "Well, how come baseball players aren't as big a deal as in football?" Because there's no baseball player that's ever going to be as valuable as LeBron James is in a season. Not Mike Trout. There's no baseball player who's going to be as valuable as Tom Brady in a season. But they push the margins. And that's what Kimbrel does, especially because he addresses what is a weak spot in the roster right now. You still don't have Morrow on the team. He's slowly coming back, but it's been, what, a year now since he's pitched? I think that Kimbrel is a significant addition, and it was one that I hoped the Cubs would make because they were probably the best fit for them. I think I said they were the best fit or maybe the second best fit, but I had them up there when I wrote about this.
Well, and certainly, again, you can't argue. There's many different points to make, so it's kind of pointless in trying to go one way or another. I mean, I love where you're going with that, and certainly, and you know, this seems like a division in the NL Central that, you know, I guess for lack of a better term, and you put this perfectly, it seems like a division that nobody wants to win. You know, it seems like everything keeps going back and forth. I mean, I know that you get individual fans saying, hey, no, it's Milwaukee, it's the Cubs, it's this and that and other. But, man, this is a division that I don't know. Maybe it's because it's that tough. Is this the toughest division in your eyes, or is it just, or what else? What makes this division feel like nobody wants to win it?
Well, it is kind of curious in a way, because four of the five teams have had multiple day first place in the standings, and I think all five teams have had significant losing and winning streaks at one point or another. I think you have just a fairly closely matched division. Baseball's schedules are very unbalanced, so that divisional rivals will play each other a lot. I think it's a lot like I expected the NL East to be, you know, minus the Marlins. But the NL East hasn't quite shaked out that way. The Braves are actually putting some daylight between them and the rest of the division. So I think that the team that wins 90 games will win the Central, and you can't say that a lot of years.
Oh, definitely. And I think it, again, it just goes to the brand of baseball that's being played right now, and certainly we'll see how that continues on for sure. But now, as you kind of continue on, there's been kind of reports that I believe a Cardinals, one of their closers, they've been down and out. You know, again, this is a pitching staff that's been kind of up and down. You know, for the Cardinal fans out there here, Dan, is there hope? I mean, what's the hope? What's the biggest shot? What do the Cardinals need to do? What's their biggest shot at making a postseason run?
It's hard. As I said, it's hard for them to add a player simply because who loses their job? I mean, you could say, you know, Paul Goldschmidt is not hitting well for a first baseman this year, but Paul Goldschmidt's not going to lose his job at the trade deadline. It's not going to happen. I think that it's a hard thing to say, but they just need to meet some of their expectations, because you have so many people who are underperforming what you expect from them. Carpenter's not hitting what he should. Paul Goldschmidt isn't. Colton Wong isn't isn't where he should be. The pitching staff across the board, except for Dakota Hudson, has been underperforming generally. And losing Jordan Hicks, it's a pretty big deal because he has some of the filthiest stuff of any closer in baseball. He's 22, and the Cardinal bullpen, unlike a lot of years, has been the part of the team that hasn't really been causing the losses. They've had, you know, some dramatic meltdowns in recent years, and the bullpen's kind of been more stable with Hicks at the front of it. No more Greg Holland at the start of the season, just blowing games left and right. And now they lose their best relief pitcher. And that's a problem. And I think that they can remedy that one by acquiring a relief pitcher, but they need more than that. So I tend to feel that the Cardinals are going to finish somewhat between 84 and 86 wins or so. And, you know, you can, it doesn't take a lot of good luck to do better than that, but I don't think that it's their year.
Well, and certainly, again, we'll have to see how it plays out, but man, I think that the Cardinals are definitely unique. You know, like you said, a lot of talent there that on paper, it seems like they should be doing much better. But again, you got to love Major League Baseball because sometimes it just doesn't pan out that way. Speaking of what may or may not pan out, I know this is a topic that's been talked about a lot dating back to last week, but the Tampa Bay Rays and a new and potential two stadium home sets. I understand. No, Dan, I get it. Sometimes there's a lot of nostalgia for the Expos. Let's try and bring those back. I wonder if that may be what this is trying to do. But then again, you know what? You have Tampa Bay. They've been on the cutting edge a lot of times about new and creative thinking. I mean, the opener almost came from them exclusively. We've seen a lot of different things come out of Tampa Bay, a lot of trendy things. So what was your initiation? What was your initial reaction to, hey, they want to now play in both Montreal and Tampa Bay?
Well, my first thought was that, oh, is this a fake Twitter account that's tweeting this? because it's not exactly what you expect to see. I'm not really sure how workable it is. I think it would make it a very unpleasant experience for players on the team, and I think it might make that team even less desirable to go to. And it's kind of weird because if you're splitting it up in the first half of the season, the second half of the season, you're asking Tampa Bay Rays fans to say, okay, you're going to root for this team, but if we have a pennant race, they're going to be in Montreal, so you'll have to root for the Braves or something, or the Marlins. And I think that's really awkward to put for a fan base. I think you either need to have a Tampa Bay team or you need a Montreal team, or you need a geographical location where this kind of split would make more sense. What I talk about a lot is North Carolina. They have two population centers that aren't quite enough on their own to support a team, but it's a big baseball state. You could split up teams between Charlotte and Raleigh-Durham, and it wouldn't be that weird. I mean, you wouldn't, since they're so close to each other relatively, you wouldn't have to do this weird thing where one team gets them, the first 3 months of the season, the other team gets them in the second half. It's a lot like divorced parents fighting over a kid, and that's never pleasant, and it's not unpleasant in baseball. I do think that it would be cool that if baseball had more special events where they go places, like a special three-game series in Montreal, just like, you know, where we've seen them in Australia and Japan and UK and in recent years. That I can see, but this kind of even split road warrior thing, even if it gets people out of half a year in Florida, I still don't think it's going to work, and I don't think it will. I think it's one of those things that they're just giving the Rays permission to look at it, but it's probably not going to happen.
As a nostalgic baseball fan, do you feel like there will ever be a need or a point at which the Expos come back?
I think there will be. I kind of don't want baseball to expand because I don't want four-team divisions. I hated four-team divisions. So just from my personal standpoint, I hope they don't do that. But I can see a team in Montreal eventually. Baseball did not treat Montreal very well. So it would like to see that. And Jonah Carey, as you know, would probably be very happy.
Well, definitely. Yeah, hey, you got to please somebody, right? You definitely do. Once again, everybody, Dan Zimborski of FanGraphs and also ESPN, a senior writer. And so very fun. Again, Dan, it's been very, very fun to watch. I can watch stuff online. Very fun to read your stuff. Love what you do. Love how you put a lot of spin and take into everything you write. And again, everybody, if you want to check him out, you know, check out Dan Zaborski on Twitter. Also check him out, obviously, Fangraphs.com and ESPN. And also now, as we kind of wrap things up, last little bit of questioning here, Dan. Now, as we continue on, just kind of a broad general spectrum in baseball, we talk about kind of the ethics of the game and in different parts of the game aspects, and how do you change the game for better? And, you know, I've always wanted to ask a man, an individual from the analytical community about this. What is your take on robots behind the plate? I mean, do we need it? I understand the need to get the call right, but do you really need that? Does it take away from the game? What's your take on potential robots or a system behind the plate instead of an umpire?
I'm in for robots. I mean, maybe not like a killer robot like you saw on those on those battle shows that were big like 15 years ago, although that would also be cool. But I do think that for balls and strikes, it's a pretty easy job technologically for a computer to do, because you always see people say, like, oh, we don't have the technology to do that. Like, no, of course you had the technology to do that. You look at things like TrackMan and the stuff that baseball uses, they are actually detecting the spin on every pitch. They can tell the difference between a pitch that's spinning at 2,900 RPMs and 2,800 RPMs. Compared to that, identifying where a white sphere crosses a pentagon and how high is not that difficult a task. Hexagon, actually. Anyway, I do think, yeah, I don't know my shapes. I have to go back to nursery school. But I do think that it's time in baseball. The sport is about the players, not necessarily the umps. And I think that the idea of sport is that everybody should be treated the same. And when you have umpire showboating and different calls for different pictures and Tom Glavine strikes that are, you know, a foot to the left of the strike zone, I think that's the problem. And I think that if you can remedy that, you have to do it.
Well, definitely. And you know what? I like your argument. You know, I've been a guy that's kind of been on both sides of the fence, but love your argument and love your stuff. Again, everybody, Dan Zimborski of Fangraphs. And Dan, that's all we'll have for you for today. But man, you know, you talked about it, a big Monday here. You know, when, you got a lot going on. You always do. What's up next for you today?
Well, I first need to figure out the difference between a pentagon and a hexagon, because now I'm sitting here wondering what I did. I'm all frazzled about my lack of shape identification. But next I'm going to be talking about Jordan Hicks. We have the All-Star break coming, so there'll be a lot of, you know, first half retrospectives. But All-Star week is fun. I'll be in Cleveland next week, and I'm mostly there for like the Home Run Derby and the Futures game. The All-Star game itself is probably the least exciting part of All-Star week for me. I think they should have a skills competition like the NFL has had in the past. That would be cool.
Well, definitely. Is there anybody, last thing, is there anybody that you feel is kind of gypped within this All-Star ballot, this new way of voting? Is there anybody gypped out that you think should have been?
I don't know about that. I think that the ballot is what it is. I don't think the old way of voting was any better. It was kind of irregular. You'd have teams reporting things at different times. We'll see. Usually it's people who shouldn't be in the All-Star game that don't get in, that or do get in, which is the weirder part, simply because they have these gigantic rosters and, you know, you have 10 players who turn it down anyway. But I think the All-Star game, it was more fun when I was a kid. I don't know if it's because I was a kid and I romanticized it, or if the All-Star game used to be better. You'd have to ask someone who's newer to the sport.
Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Again, Dan Zimborski of Fangraphs, also ESPN. Dan, we'll let you go off with that. And, you know, it's always great to talk to you, man. Always great to chat. And, of course, look forward to many more conversations.
Thanks for having me on.
Once again, everybody, that was Dan Zimborski of Fangraphs. Check him out on Twitter. Great guy to talk with. And again, go to Fangraphs chat and you can have any conversation you want with him, basically. And especially sandwiches, you know, don't get me started on the chili, but he can definitely get you on both of those topics. We're going to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we're going to dive into College World Series talk. Right now, Michigan up 2-0. And I'm here to tell you why Michigan may just take this one. Again, if you want to call in, please do at 515-284-5966. Once again, this is Andrew Brown hosting in for the Sports Fanatics right here on 1460 KXNO.
Listen, baby, ain't no mountain high, ain't no valley low.
Sports Fanatics right here on 1460 KXNO. I like to call myself a guru of cue music, I guess, in and out music. This is a good one. Yeah, credit to Guardians of the Galaxy. They have a great playlist, a great mix there. Once again, everybody, you're listening to Andrew Brown filling in for Ross and Chris right here on Sports Fanatics, 1460 KXNO. If you have any questions, thoughts, if you have any father advice, please go ahead and give me a call, 515-284-5966. Any interesting father stories that you have out there, I'd love to hear about them. You know, again, my son just threw my phone off the balcony, so that's fun. But if you have anything, please give me a call or anything. I mean, we can talk about anything you want. If it's cricket, I can't give you much about cricket, but we can talk about that. Basketball, anything. Right now, though, we're going to continue on until I get another caller. I'll talk about college baseball again, as I talked about. And just an update, we have Michigan currently leading 2-0 over Vanderbilt. I believe it's the second inning, as live from Omaha. So if you get the chance to catch that game, love it. It's a great atmosphere, so why not catch it? But I'm here to tell you why you should maybe start rooting for Michigan. Now, I know everybody maybe, you know, for those big-time college baseball fans, you may be throwing something at the radio right now, or you may be angry about it, because Vanderbilt, I think the first thing you'd say for that argument is they have hit the most home runs in D1 baseball this year. And you take a look at Martin, their leadoff hitter. He has been a blast. J.J. Blade, he has been just blasting homers left and right. And so they have a lot of, you know, top to bottom, 1-9, a lineup that can hit home runs with power. But here's the deal. I may be a Cinderella story fanatic. I may be a Big Ten homer. Obviously, I have my podcast with Iowa Hawkeyes, so I may be a Big Ten homer. But here's why I think Michigan may be the team to win. I know it's early yet, but I think this is why you should be, you know, listening or rooting for them. Because in the end, you look at it. I know that right now where Michigan stands, they are a up-and-coming program, some might say. Vanderbilt, you know, Vanderbilt, they're recently good. I mean, they've been good in the past, but they're recently dominant is what they are. I mean, ultimately, you look at it, they're making just their fourth College World Series appearance. Michigan 8 overall. How they performed in those College World Series appearances is a little different. Vandy with 14 wins, just 6 losses. But then, you know, overall, this may be a Michigan team that, again, you may not want to sleep on. Again, Eric Backage, the head coach for Michigan, he has come from the same cloth as Tim Corbin. He coached underneath him. He was an assistant coach to Corbin a while back. So and if you look at kind of how they run things, how they operate, it's similar to Vandy. Why not, you know, fight fire with fire, so to speak? And that's, I think, what Backage is doing here. And you know what? It's working. You know, he's had teams in the past that are good, but man, this team certainly seems to be, well worth the hype. I mean, look, listen, we've got Vanderbilt. They've already had the hype. I mean, 57 wins is the most in program history for Vandy. They've already had the hype, but they've already been used to it. And I think we as fans have been used to the hype as well. You know, but get this, you know, I love Cinderella stories, but I love Cinderella stories that could actually happen. You take a look, Michigan was a 3 seed, and when the tournament started, they were a 3 seed in the regional. Here's a little bit of history that you may or may not have known, that there have only been three, prior to Michigan, there had only been 3 teams who were a 3rd seed to make the College World Series, not just the World Series, but the College World Series finals. Michigan is now the 4th. Here's another thing, continuing on with that. All three prior teams that were 3 seeds to make it to the finals won. And they did so over teams that were, at the time, pictured Goliaths. Okay, they were the teams that were projected to win, had huge odds to win, and yet those th- 3 number 3 seeds came in and they won. Again, now with Michigan being the 4th number 3 seed to make it to the finals, look at what they're doing. And okay, I know you're saying, hey, Andrew, that's just one bit. I mean, that could happen. That's a fluke. It only happened 3 other times. I get it. But here's the deal. Michigan has been great at scoring and scoring early, scoring first, being the ones right out of the gate. And what has happened with that? They've won 3 straight in the College World Series. Yes, they won to, I believe, a Division II team earlier on in the regular season. Yes, that may have happened. But looky here. I mean, the thing about this is a team that is it's all about how you do late. It's all about how you do late and how you perform late in the season. This is a team that when they score first, they're 37-6. 37-6. And that's for the entire season. And now that they're hot, and guess what? Now they're up 2-0 against a team that should be hot, but a team in Vanderbilt that's coming off kind of a little stingy. They were a little shy in terms of offensive production against Louisville. So there you go. So that's kind of an up and down rock there. But again, you look at it, and you could argue one way or another. Again, I want to say that Michigan is the team to do it. And as I said earlier on in the show, their pitching has been phenomenal, led by Tommy Henry. 127 strikeouts, the most in program history. This team has a way to come up. I mean, you look at this team back and forwards, and a lot of great things. I mean, Jimmy Kerr is a phenomenal guy. Obviously, he had a couple homers in his last game. But this is a team that can strike first, strike early, and has the pitching to back it up. So that's all I'm saying. It can happen. It can be done. There you go. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. Brandon Platt coming on up after this, former Iowa Hawkeye pitcher, to talk about Diamond Dreams. So stay tuned. Andrew Brown filling in for the sports fanatics. Chris and Ross right here on 1460 KXNO.
Come back new.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to the Sports Fanatics. Andrew Brown filling in for Ross and Chris right here on 1460 KXNO. We're going to get right to it, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to dive into my next guest here. He has been a Hawkeye pitcher. He's been a great Hawkeye homer. He's currently based out of Iowa City, part of Diamond Dreams Sports Academy. He is the one, and he is the only, Brandon Platt. Brandon, thank you so very much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me on, Andrew. Glad to be here.
You know, first things first, I got to talk about you here quick. You know, before we'll get into the conversation that we had, earlier on in the show about Little League and kind of the craziness that has gone on there. But first, I want to talk on Diamond Dreams. I mean, you put forth, you helped bring together Diamond Dream Sports Academy, and based out of Iowa City. And man, there's a lot of great things that come with that here. And I don't want to butcher it by trying to talk it. I mean, I could talk it up for days, but man, take us through, a lot of, by the way, a lot of, for everybody who doesn't know, a lot of high individuals, high talented individuals have come through there. I know recently a name that everyone in the area knows, Tyler Payton. He came. He has come to Diamond Dream Sports Academy. He has talked so highly, Brandon. He has talked so highly of Diamond Dreams and what it has done to him and help out his injury. He had a couple injury scares a little while back. But kind of take us through Diamond Dreams. It's not just for the guys who are going to the pros. It's for everybody of all ages. How'd you get together and how'd you start Diamond Dreams, and what is Diamond Dreams all about?
You bet. Well, Diamond Dreams was actually formed, I believe, about 10 years ago by several gentlemen here in town, all former athletes. One of the guys actually played football here at Iowa, and then a couple of guys played baseball as well. So they kind of had that vision and wanted to touch, the youth side of things as well as high school kids and, college athletes as well. So that business was around for multiple years before they decided, they all got older and had families and kids, and it gets a little more difficult to put in the long hours that we do with lessons and tournaments and all of that stuff. So myself and another gentleman, Kyle Sherman, decided to buy into the company and kind of take things over. Kyle has been the GM at Diamond Dreams for 8 years now, I believe. You know, and I actually started out just as the pitching coach at Diamond Dreams once my college career was over. You know, so I worked there for 3 years before, you know, they had offered us to buy over the company. And, you know, so we've been doing this for about a year and a half now. Moved locations down in Coralville, right in the River Landing down there, right where the new Iowa Arena is going to be. So we've been down here for a little over a year. In a good size space, you know, we're able to do what we need to do out of, you know, the 10,000 square foot that we have. But it's been a lot of fun because we have anywhere from, you know, 6-year-olds that are just learning how to swing a baseball bat or throw a baseball, you know, up to some pro athletes that come back and train in our facility in the off season. So it's been a lot of fun to see the wide variety of athletes. You know, and then on top of that, we have softball players, and we actually have a football academy as well that runs out of Diamond Dream. So it keeps things interesting, you know, but when the kids are able to kind of brush shoulders with pro players in the off season, and then, you know, we have various Iowa Hawkeye baseball players that become interns at our facility and come and do lessons. So when those kids can be around those guys every day and look up to them and, you know, pick their brains and ask questions, it makes for a pretty cool atmosphere as well. So,
well, I got to say, you know, I haven't been there, but man, your reputation really precedes you. And I a lot of it had to do when I got in contact with Tyler Payton, but before I even got in contact with him here, Brandon, there's so much talk about if you're serious about your kid playing baseball and getting the right training, go to Diamond Dreams. Go there, check out Diamond Dreams, and I can see why. And one of the things that I loved about when chatted with you last was how you kind of take the approach about also to prevent injuries. You know, I just love that because, let's face it, young kids want to grip, rip, throw hard, and they don't really think about the safety aspect. They don't think about longevity. You guys do. And again, an interview with Tyler Payton, that was a lot of what he talked about is, hey, I think that I got better. I healed up just from being there. And so kind of take us through the approach, especially from the pitching side of things, because it's been great to listen to. It's been great to talk about. And I think the reputation does precede itself.
Well, I think the driving factor for myself is, you know, I was a guy that, you know, my injury or my career ended earlier than I wanted it to due to injuries. I had labrum surgery and then ulnar nerve surgery on my elbow, you know, after being a draft pick out of high school and, you know, going to the University of Missouri first and then finishing at University of Iowa. You know, I had some awesome coaches, kind of an awesome path to, you know, hopefully play pro ball one day, and that was all kind of shut down after injury. So, you know, that was something that I was very passionate about once my career was over is what can I do to give back? You know, what needs to be done to start educating some of these youth and educating parents to make sure that we're giving them the best resources possible. And, you know, one thing that I like to tell my guys all the time is, you know, I'm going to give you guys tools to put in your toolbox, right? Whether you take those tools and use them outside of Diamond Dreams or you use them when you go to practice or before games, that's up to you. But I just want to be that resource and help you guys out. Along with my time as well, a huge, huge factor in help has been the U of I Sports Med. Their facility is right off of campus there, and they work with all the, you know, Iowa athletes, football, baseball, basketball, all those guys. They've been really helpful in coming in and screening some of our athletes to make sure that there's no underlying problems that we can't see. So a lot of our youth athletes and our high school athletes get tested by U of I Sports Med, just so we make sure that, you know, we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's before we put a baseball in a kid's hand and ask them to do something that their body's not ready for. So if we can educate parents and kids from that side of things, you know, that's really a selling factor as far as, you know, they can see the information on paper like, hey, this is something I'm not good at. This is something that needs to get better. You know, you kind of put the ball on their court, you know, and they can put the time into it and really decide if they want to get themselves stronger in the areas that, they need work or not. So that's something that we really pride ourselves on. You know, that's the first thing I set out to do when I took over as the pitching director at Diamond Dreams is, what do I got to do to educate kids, keep kids healthy, and kind of create this atmosphere where, you know, everyone that walks in my door, I don't want a single injury. And that's something I pride myself in. And, you know, I'll go the extra mile to make sure that kids are staying healthy and know how much they should be pitching on weekends, and how much time to take off on the weeknights, and how to recover, how to get themselves activated before games. So that's something I really pride myself in. So,
once again, everybody, Brandon Platt of Diamond Dream Sports Academy, former Iowa Hawkeye pitcher. And, you know, there's a lot going on within Diamond Dreams. Some you can talk about, some you can't here, but a lot of excitement brewing in on the horizon here. A lot of new stuff coming up that I think people should be aware of here, Brandon. So kind of take us through what's some of the new stuff that we, should be looking for here in the future.
Yeah, so there's a lot of synergy going on in the area with a lot of different youth academies. Whether it be our academy that houses baseball, softball, football. We've recently done a lot with Dylan Carew and his Big Game Wrestling Club, you know, because we have the thing that we want to realize is, you know, we want to try and push total athletic development, right? And I was a guy that played four sports in high school. So whatever we can do to make it more convenient for families where, you know, kids are able to still play all the sports they need to, you know, and still get to all the practices and make it convenient for those families. That's what we're trying to do. So we're actually looking at a new location right now to build our first facility. We've always rented in the past, but we're going to build our own facility and try and get near a lot of these athletic clubs just to make it easier for these parents to get kids to practices or weightlifting or whatever they need to do. So that's something that we've really been working hard for the last 2 years is to find that perfect location where we can, you know, break dirt, build our first facility, have more space to do the things that we want to do. You know, so pretty exciting stuff going to be happening here in the near future. So we're really excited to announce that here soon. So good things in the works for sure.
Well, definitely very excited for that. And, last couple questions here, Brandon. Again, Brandon Platt of Diamond Dream Sports Academy. Check it out online. Of course, great stuff coming out of there here, Brandon. And one thing, there's a topic conversation that will probably continue on the station for a while, and that's that involves Little League, etiquette, parents getting very excited. Every Little League parent is for their kid, and they want their kids to be great. They want their kids to succeed. I understand that. But there's been recently, I believe out of Colorado and other states, there's been a lot of interesting stories. Stories that I wish wouldn't have ever happened. But we've had, and there's been beer league softball stories that have come out. A lot of interesting stories. You have been a part of a lot of Little League teams. You've coached and you've been a part of all that. And, you know, we're starting to see a lot more, fanatical parents. I mean, what has been your experience with that? And is there a right way to eradicate all that? How do you go about that? Or what's been your experience with all that?
You know, it's frustrating to say the least. You know, unfortunately, I've seen it firsthand. The last couple of years, I've actually coached a 9U and an 8U traveling team. And as you know, the U-SSA and softball and baseball and all the youth traveling stuff continues to get bigger and bigger and bigger, it's like these parents continue to put more and more pressure on their children to succeed and do well. And, you know, it's frustrating to see because you kind of take away from the point of the game where, you know, kids are there to develop, kids are there to have fun, kids are there to learn the game the right way, play hard, do things well. And when they have their parents breathing down their neck like that, you take the fun completely out of the game. And, you know, I don't think it's setting a good example for these kids as well, because they see how their parents are acting and they see their parents complaining about every ball and strike call and foul balls and, you know, whatever the case may be. And then they think it's all right for them to do it too, you know. So as soon as they see their parents doing it, you know, they're setting the precedent. Well, hey, it's okay to sit here and badger the umpires, you know, and complain about the calls that they're making. You know, I've umpired games before. It's difficult. It's not easy, right? It's, you know, there's a fine line between trying to call balls and strikes on a little tiny square. Not everyone's perfect. You know, people make mistakes. And, you know, for people to sit here and complain about calls in 8U, 9U games, it's frustrating. You know, so I think that's something as a coach, you know, I'd like to see more coaches outline that at the beginning of the season. You know, have parents sign contracts or something that, you know, they're not here to complain about calls. They're here about to help their kids develop and get better and just learn the game and have fun, you know, because you take a lot of fun out of it when you stop games because the umpire's got to throw someone out or whatever, you know. So if you start losing the fact that it's about the kids and it's more about the parents and them being upset, then you're taking away the fun from it. So definitely frustrating, but hopefully it continues to get better.
Well, no doubt. No doubt. Hopefully it gets better. Brandon, you're a big part of that. Again, everybody, Brandon Platt of Diamond Dreams. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for you this time around. But hopefully, you know, sooner or later, we'll get back to you in touch. But Brandon, thanks again for taking the time.
Hey, thanks for having me, Andrew. I appreciate it.
Once again, everybody, Brandon Platt of Diamond Dreams Sports Academy. If you haven't checked, it's, I believe, 4-1 Michigan up over Vanderbilt in the College World Series on ESPN. Right now, though, ladies and gentlemen, coming up, we'll be having some high school baseball. That's right. It's coming up here, right here on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.